It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Lazy.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans, and the Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hey, Kermit the Frog, I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT!
Yay! Get the fuck out of here. Going to the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of you youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say.
Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant, Total Nonstop Ant, Total Nonstop Ant.
I don't want to be first, I want to be right. Don't want to be first, don't want to be right. Don't want to be first, don't want to be right. Don't want to be first, don't want to be right. Don't want to be first. Premature ejaculation. Premature. How is it, everyone? You got your tissues out? Goofy podcasters? Premature ejaculation. Unfucking believable. I am back. Breakfast with Blasi. It is April 11, 2019. Welcome to this edition of Breakfast with Blasi. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know I plug Patreon every single week, especially that we now do a live show every Tuesday after SmackDown, exclusive on Patreon. And I had some fun this past Tuesday because we have a lot of our patrons who are in the Discord channel, and they're communicating with us. They're interacting with us during the show. And there was a few that were bringing to my attention the Wendy Williams show controversy with Sasha Banks. People were bringing to my attention the WWE writer, R.D. Evans, who got fired because he wrote Vince McMahon in a speech, blah, 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 blah. And I basically told him, I'm like, look, I ain't fucking reporting stuff that's not researched first. And the perfect example with the Sasha Banks, Wendy Williams thing is that what did you read everywhere else? Oh, you know, Wendy Williams is really upset and her camp is irate and blah, 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 and she'll never be booked again, blah, 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 blah. But meanwhile, not one goddamn website bothered to even look at Wendy Williams' social media page where she herself not only liked Sasha's statement, but retweeted it. And as I had said on Tuesday, that from what I'm hearing, there's no animosity whatsoever. Well, guess fucking what? We found out today that Sasha Banks had a legitimate family emergency, something, you know, a little bit of a crisis, I think would be the best way that it was described to me. And because of that, she had to pull out of the show. No animosity amongst the Wendy Williams show. No animosity amongst Wendy Williams. And I know a lot of times I am critical of Sasha Banks. Out of everybody who accuses WWE wrestlers of feeling entitled, and me, yeah, there's a lot of people just overall in this world that don't understand, you know, what it was like 10, 20, 30 years ago. Everybody's fucking entitled. It's amazing. Look at the debt. Look at all
all the expenses. I can't afford this. I need free this. I need free healthcare. With your $1,000 fucking iPhone. No sympathy from me. But getting back to Sasha. I know I am overly critical because I think out of everybody on the roster, she comes off as feeling the most entitled. You know, when something doesn't go her way, all of a sudden it's crisis mode for her. Cryptic tweets, cryptic this, you know, can't just come straight out and stuff. You got to keep, you know, people wondering what the fuck it is. And then when people guess wrong, she gets mad because of all this fake news reporting. You know, if you're going to post a cryptic tweet, little message, you know, you got to expect people to interpret it wrong. And if you don't want people to interpret your shit wrong, you don't fucking say anything. Now, from what was described to me personally today about what's going on in Sasha's family, with all show joking aside, I really wish her and her family well. Because yeah, I'm not going to say what was told to me because I don't know if it's 100% accurate. But from what I understand, you know, there is a situation going on in the family. I'm not going to say if it was someone deceased or someone had some issues and this and that. All I'm going to say is what was described to me is something that, you know what? I would have pulled out of the appearance too. So I have to defend Sasha Banks completely on this. Now, second thing that I had fun with, and this was probably the one where people wanted me to talk about the most. It was reported all over the place that R.D. Evans, who does some writing for WWE, he was responsible in doing some of the writing for Bret Hart's induction speech at the Hall of Fame. And the story that went around is that Vince McMahon did not want his name mentioned in the speeches at all, even though I know DX said it 1,000 times. And Bret Hart did mention Vince McMahon, and then it was revealed that Robert Evans, who wrote a lot of Bret Hart's speech, wrote Vince McMahon in a speech, and he was fired over it. Now, how many of you out there have noticed podcasters and websites over the last 3 days speaking, "That's so fucked up. How do you let somebody go like that? How can you fire someone for mentioning Vince McMahon? People have said it 1,000 times. And nobody bothered to stop and say, don't want to be first. I want to be right. Don't want to be first. I want to be right. Don't want to be first. I want to be right. Don't want to be first. I want to be right. Instead, I want to be first. I don't want to be right. I want to be first. I don't want to be right. Well, guess what? He didn't fucking get fired. He quit. Now, you want to hear the story that I was told about this? Now, you tell me which one sounds like it makes more sense. Let's go with all the goofy podcasters and the websites out there that said he was fired for writing the name Vince McMahon in the speech. Sound a little bit over the top? Or how's this? Vince McMahon was angry that R.D. Evans wrote his name in the speech, even though he did not want to be mentioned. He doesn't want his name dropped for the most part in a lot of these speeches. And R.D. Evans got pissed off, got upset about it, thought it was no big deal. Other people were going back and forth with him. And he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out of here. Now, it's not that easy, but which one sounds more logical? Again, I will not do a podcast. I will not do Patreon shows. I will not do shows and just sit here and read shit that is being written on websites unless I can actually get some confirmation on it. Will I opine? Absolutely. Will I give you my opinions? Absolutely. And if I'm not sure if something is true or not, I will tell you, look, it's not confirmed, but here's what I feel, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not going to bring up something simply because you read it on a dumb website or heard it on a stupid podcast or written on a dumb Facebook page. Not going to do that. So now we have specific info, and that's why I'm up here. So just figured I'd throw those out of the way right at the get-go. Anyway, you know, I did... over the last week, I did the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show last week. Did Breakfast Soup Live. Breakfast Soup. WrestleMania 35 predictions. This week in wrestling history. WrestleMania 35 recap. Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. DT, KC show extra. And after all of that, what do I find in my inbox and PMs over the last 24 hours? Don Tony. By the way, it's a shout out to my buddy in Miami. Came all the way from Miami to New York just to hang out with us over the weekend in Brooklyn at the Lucky 13 Saloon. And by the way, shout out to everybody who showed up. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. I don't care if you call me a pussy. Driving home after that, I had tears in my eyes. No joke. I just really got choked up at the amount of love that was going on. Especially when you look at the footage, and it's on my Twitter account, at Don Tony D. There is 90 minutes of it. And yes, once again, I did grab the penis of John Draper. I got a good grab of it. I've never grabbed somebody's penis before. You know, I guess there's a little trick when it comes to Joey Ryan or something like that. Like, you're supposed to, like, make it look like you're grabbing it, but you're not grabbing it. I grabbed it. And like I said, you know, John, you know, something tells me you need a little bit of implant surgery. Nah, I'm only kidding. No, but, you know, we did the, well, I took part as a guest of the Wrestling Soup WrestleMania party. It was Draper, Joey Numbers, Mish, and myself. And it was just humbling to have that many of you show up, especially when there was so much going on WrestleMania weekend. There were a lot of other people who really wanted to go. It's just the logistics were not possible. And I tell you, you woke a sleeping giant, because I've already talked to Mish about setting up more of these in Chicago, in Florida, upstate. We're going to look into doing another one in New York. And we're actually also considering Texas. I know a lot of you that live in I didn't know there was that many of you in Texas that listened to us. I thought you were busy, like, playing with cattle and drinking beers and going to country music festivals. Holy shit, the Texas response is unbelievable. Unfortunately, to my buddy in Miami, Dan Tony, I don't think I could go to Miami. You know, a little too much, you know, New Jack Hustler stuff going on over there. But I'm telling you, you woke a sleeping giant. Now, we're not going to go into Hawk in Chapter 11, the fucking touring everywhere just to hang out. I mean, we're going to plan, you know, 1, 2, 3 things, you know, we'll get together. But it was fucking phenomenal. And once again, if you go to my Twitter, at Don Tony D, there is 90 minutes of footage that was recorded. Most of the footage I recorded myself. And it's just, it's phenomenal. So go check it out. But anyway, after doing all those shows, you know, I get hit with that the last 24 hours. And then I realize, no wonder. You want me to do a show to talk about wrestling and some other stuff uninterrupted. No co-hosts, just me. And that's what I'm here for. I don't know how much stuff I'm going to get into. And yes, a couple of things may be slightly repetitive from Tuesday, because 99.6% of our listeners aren't on Patreon. And no, I'm not going to get into the habit of bringing stuff up on Patreon and then repeating it on a non-Patreon show simply because you're not a subscriber. But there are a few things I definitely wanted to touch on. So we will get into it, you know, as the show progresses. One thing that did spark a lot of conversation, and I'm not gonna lie, Epic Sports, if you're listening right now, I cannot believe that you did not put up the discussion that Kev and I had on Monday about Kofi as champion and the influence of towards the black community, and just, you know, the emotion that it sparked. I thought that was one of the most awesome debates that we have had in a very long time. And nothing's on YouTube. I thought that would be the first thing that could go up there. So, you know, I mean, what do you want me? Kofi's an asshole. Kofi's a dick. Kofi sucks. Kofi should shoot up steroids. Is that what it takes to get that convo on YouTube? Seriously. And I'm saying this with love to Epic Sports. He is one of our biggest supporters. But, you know, YouTube cannot just be negative stuff. Even though he does put a nice amount of positive stuff, case in point, my props to all of you out there who showed respect towards Lars's debut, that gave him, you know, a lot more time than just the night after WrestleMania. you know, you see on TV, the You Can't Wrestle chants, and I'm saying to myself, you obviously didn't fucking watch NXT. Of course, he's not going to fucking do chain wrestling and wrestle like Chris Benoit. You guys are a monster. When you're a monster, you don't do headlocks. That was one of the dumbest fucking things that I watched on fucking SmackDown. Go watch it back. To every single one of you Polacks out there that fucking went, you can't wrestle, you can't wrestle. The fuck is a insane monster supposed to do? Headlock? You idiots. But anyway, on YouTube, I know Sports put that conversation up on Monday. And, you know, 95% of you were positive. You know, you want to give him time to develop. And a lot of people showed massive support about what was going on with his anxiety issues. And a lot of you out there, especially in this day and age, I know a lot of you fucking can't stand Trump but are really worried about this country. I know a lot of you out there have gone through some really rough times, and anxiety is a very serious thing. And you got these trolls that are just, you know, trying to make people crack under pressure and shit like that. But, you know, for this guy to go from where he was to now, you know what? Good for him. You know, give him some time. I will say this as a wrestling fan myself, and I mentioned this on Tuesday. You know what I would have done different with Lars? And it's not too late. WWE can do this, and maybe they plan on doing this. They should have had him attack everybody. Not just legends, but attack everybody. Now, I understand a lot of you out there think that he targeted the Hardys and he targeted Kurt Angle because they're legends and they're, you know, we look up to them and he wants to destroy our most coveted heroes, blah, 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 blah. It's what a lot of you feel. But what I thought would have helped him get even more over with the crowd, and look, I'm not a writer, I'm just giving you an opinion as a fan. What I would have done is, of course, they weren't going to let him attack Baron Corbin. But I would have let him attack Baron Corbin. I would have let him do that first. And you know what would have happened? The crowd would have fucking popped. Oh, shit, yeah, he's a good guy. He's beating up the bad guy. And while the crowd is fucking popping and going, one more time, he turns around and he fucking does the same exact thing to Kurt Angle. You just played mind games on the fans. Is he for the good guys? He's bad. Now they realize this guy's just a fucking maniac and he'll attack whoever the fuck he pleases. Whatever pleases him. He could have done that on SmackDown again. Have him come out. Could have laid out the Usos and the Hardys, even though technically they're both baby faces. My point is, I would not have him strictly come out and just beat up baby fat. He's because the first time, like I said, could you imagine the pop if he would have knocked out Baron Corbin? I think of fucking Joe Schmuck in the audience that nobody knows decked Baron Corbin. He would have gotten the pop of the night. Baron Corbin is one of the most hated people on the WWE roster, and if he would have done that, crowd would have popped big time, and then he could have swerved them all by then knocking out Angle. That's the only thing I would have done different, but. Yeah, I'm not going to take four moves and then prejudge this guy and say, oh, he's just Snitsky, he's this, he's that. That's naive, that's ignorant, and that's stupid. But props to everybody on YouTube because, you know, you see a lot on social media these days. You know, the in thing is to troll, to be an asshole, to really get under people's skin. Everybody is a tough guy when it's behind a keyboard. And yes, I'm not going to lie, I am an asshole at times as well, without a doubt. But usually I like to tell people to their face. I don't hide under a cartoon meme or fucking profile picture. I don't hide under a fake name. Yes, D'Antoni's not a real name, but my real name is on my profile as well. I get more satisfaction. I wish people would really think about what I'm going to say. I get so much more satisfaction when I insult someone and they know it's me doing it. Not under fucking Don Cornelius, not under fucking Jack Splatt, not under fucking Joe Schmo, not under fucking Bugs Bunny. No, under my name, my picture. I want you to see that I'm saying this shit. This way you know who the fuck is embarrassing you. And even with these goofy podcasts, yeah, I call them out. And yes, sometimes I go way overboard. But the reason why I do that is because you really need to take a step back and look at the garbage that's out there. You know, there's a lot of people doing this because they think they can make money off it. Good for them. There's a lot of people doing this because they have no life whatsoever. And I don't mean like, oh, you got no life, you're a dick. No, I mean no life is no social presence. People who are fucking afraid to go out in public. People who are afraid to mingle with other people. People who are afraid to go on fucking dates. People who are afraid to go out and fucking try to party or have a relationship or even a one-night stand. Instead, they rather fucking sit at home, embarrass people on YouTube. They actually smile that they actually put someone down and it actually got to them. And God forbid, if they get 50 likes back, then it's almost like orgasmic to them. And then what do? When they're in the mood, instead of going on eHarmony or Match or trying to find a significant other to have some fun with, go out on a date, go out for a fling, whatever it is, you know what they do? They go on pornxs.com, whack off for about 5 minutes, flush it down the toilet. That sexual relief is there. And then they go fucking have a hoagie. And then it's right back to the same repetitive shit all over again. That is the life. And of course, a lot of them have a job. Yeah, a lot of them do have a job. But that is their life. And if you think that I'm exaggerating, look at it like this. The people who out there voice that they do blah, 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 and blah, and you never see anything to back it up. You never see any photos. You never see any footage. You never see any friends or anything saying, yeah, man, we had a fucking blast last night, blah, 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 blah. They create this false universe amongst themselves. And they want everybody on social media to think that, oh, they're doing this, they're rescuing this, they're eating this, they went here, they partied there, they partied everywhere, they went away, they did that, and they do nothing. They do zippo, zilch. And that's what you got on social media. You know, yes, I am an asshole sometimes. Absolutely. Yes, some people get really annoyed when I criticize some people, even in wrestling. You know, but at least I give you the reasons why. You know, if I have a problem, I'll give you one right now. Nikki Bella, okay? I read another interview today. She, her podcast recap, as if the people tuning in don't know who she is. She has to describe to everybody who John Cena was. Oh, for people that don't know, that's my ex-fiance. And then she's talking about, well, we've been broken up for a year now. And she's talking about the photos that surface of him with this other woman. All right. And, you know, she's like, oh, my God, if she breaks his heart, I'm going to rack attack her. I'm still protective of that man. I'm serious. I mean this with the, I usually say, don't take it personal. Dana Brooke, I swear to God, I know nothing about her personally. I hear things. Yeah, you know. I can honestly say I've never heard anything negative about Dana Brooke in her private life. What happened with her boyfriend at that not too long ago was a tragedy. You really do legitimately feel bad for her. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's not cool to say, yeah. No, it wasn't cool. I feel bad for her. But as far as a performer, she does nothing for me on TV. Nothing. Nothing. And that's just the way I feel. Nikki Bella, though, I will, and I always say this too, it's nothing personal, but here's where I am going to go personal. I thank God that I'm a nobody just like everybody else out there. And when I say I'm a nobody, I'm not saying that, oh, we're nobodies, let's just end it all. No, I mean like someone who is, you know, just an everyday person, not a celebrity, not someone who has to hide, not someone who is in this bubble. You know, not someone, you can be an everyday person and have privilege. You could be an everyday person and work fucking 60 hours a week like a friend of mine that's on Facebook. I can't remember his name. He's a listener. Probably doesn't even have a clue that I actually, you know, take notice of what people are doing. He's been busting his ass 60 hours a week for 6 years straight and just got a fucking big time promotion and is doubling his pay. All right. Oh, by the way, he's black. All right, you can work your ass off and get rewarded and have the finer things in life. Just because you have some of the finer things in life just doesn't mean it was handed to you. But you see this stuff with Nikki Bella and you read the stuff and yeah, thank God I ain't in her league. Thank God I don't live in fucking California. Thank God I'm not a celebrity. Thank God I'll fucking drink bleach before I ever interact or hang out or associate with anybody like that. Still protective of that man? You keep that in your heart. You open your mouth and say, I'll fucking... Now, of course, she's not really going to assault someone. It's a figure of speech. But my God, you had a fucking relationship. It did not work, all right? You fucking incorporated into the entertainment world. You shifted things. You exaggerated things. You fucking do all for attention. The guy is no longer dating you, all right? He doesn't have his fucking tattoo of you on his balls. You're not together anymore. You could love him. You could care for him. You could still wish him the best. But if he has a failed relationship, all right, that's on him. The fucking keep, let it go. You know, you didn't even have the balls on your fucking TV show to fucking call him out by name. My ex, my ex, my ex, my ex, my ex. Just because you're a celebrity, just because you're beautiful, just because you're on TV, just because you got a lot more money than all of us combined, doesn't mean that you have any extra IQ up there. I read this and I'm like, my God, someone in my neighborhood that acts like that, you'd be eaten up and spit out. You know what would happen? Every fucking good-looking Italian Guido mafia wannabe would fucking do everything possible to get in your pants and use you like a fucking tissue. They would use you like a bad habit, get you out of here. Someone like you, no wonder why you keep having relationship problems. And look, who am I? I mean, I'm not no relationship expert, but I read stuff like that. And I'm like, my God, something tells me deep down inside, John Cena's got to be saying to himself, I should have never fucking dated this whack job. She won't let it go. She won't fucking let it go. She's going to be 88 years old, fucking walking with a cane. Fucking, you know, realizing, you know, there ain't no Total Grandma's show out there. John, you know, shit. My God, you're a grown fucking woman. You care for him, but she breaks his heart. That's his fucking problem, not yours. Jesus. What about when he fucking breaks people's hearts? What about when he cheats on someone? You know, look, John Cena is a generally good guy. But ain't fucking Jesus Christ. We all make mistakes. We all have impulses. We all have temptations. What when that guy does something wrong? What are you going to do then? Why am I screaming? I know why I'm screaming. Anybody that's on my Twitter, no. I had a triple Ely espresso about 45 minutes ago. And I said I might be a little edgy on this show. And I had to have one because I am totally spent. I'm still spent from this past weekend because I haven't had a break. I haven't had a time to breathe between real life stuff and all the shows and losing sleep and preparing for this and other things coming up. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It's just been a great week. And I want to thank everybody who made it that much better. By the way, if for those that heard me say this on Patreon, we do know who came up with that, who took that photo that I have posted and pinned on Twitter of myself, Miss, Joey, and John. Because the idea is we're going to get 8x10s made up, and we're going to send a whole stack of these photos to each one of our respective houses, and we're all going to sign them, and then we're going to give them away down the line. Each photo will be signed by us four. And I got to really, you know, give a special shout out to someone. I don't want to say his name publicly. He may not want me to mention, you know, his name, but if he says it's okay, I'll shout him out next week. And some of you out there will laugh your ass off because just to show you how a small world is, if I reveal who this person is, if you're a fan of Growing Up Don Tony, and if you remember the infamous pizzeria episode and what followed after, it's just unbelievable that it came in full swing and someone in that inner circle actually took that photo. I was just blown away when I got the PM today. I was like, are you kidding me? How not creepy, but like how odd is that if you think about it? If he's listening, you know what I'm talking about. That was just odd. I'm like, of all people to take the picture, him. Anyway, we talked about superstar Billy Graham on Monday. Anybody goes to the Wayback Machine website, type in wrestling-news.com, go back to 2002. I know I started the website earlier, but 2002 onward, for many, many years, you know, the front graphic had Ric Flair on it, Bruiser Brody, Terry Funk, a little bit later, superstar Billy Graham. Some of my favorites growing up. And, you know, when he started going back and forth with Jericho, threatening to kill him, and get a D-death, I'm like, okay, this guy's, you know, got a couple of screws loose. But now, in this day and age, after all the tragedies, after all the wrestlers who have died young, he actually had the nerve to say, Kofi, take steroids. Take steroids. Get bigger. You know, Vince won't care. Blah, 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 blah. I don't give a shit if he cared or he didn't care. Steroids are not good for you. We don't tell people to smoke. We don't tell people to fucking drink. We don't tell people to do any type of narcotics. Oh, just a little bit. Just a little bit. What are you, Sean O'Hare? You know, look, just a little bit. It's okay. Just a drop. Yeah, it's not going to hurt you. It's okay. Nobody's looking. Nobody's going to care. It's just going to make your life better. You know, too bad you can't put on a fucking black overcoat and just look on it. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Shut up. Seriously, you're one of my favorites of all time. You don't understand it. You don't realize it on your end. But everybody's looking at you like a guy who has just totally lost it. All right? We're in an era now. All right? Everybody says, oh, Becky Lynch is the face of the WWE. Now, I'm going to say something in a second. And I know some people are going to get upset at it. But I'm going to just say it anyway. And I hope you take it in. You know, in the perspective of where I'm going with it. Anybody that follows the shows knows that way before Becky got as over as she is now, you remember the infamous conversation with Mish and I that we had done on an episode of Breakfast Soup. This was in the summertime of last year where we did not like that WWE was forcing her to put down the fans. And, you know, we were comparing her to other, you know, storylines, this and that, the people's champion, you know, the voice of the voiceless, you know, this, this, and that. You know, we compare it to not on the level of The Rock or CM Punk or even the Yes Movement of Daniel Bryan, but someone who feels like they're an extension of the people. That's where we wanted it to go. Luckily, WWE, they didn't listen to us. They realized that, yeah, this is the way to go. They let it happen organically. Sure. The storyline build to WrestleMania, Jump the Shark, was probably just way overwritten, but it still didn't take away from the fact that Becky was the favorite. They gave the fans what they want in this particular storyline, and let's see where it goes. I am concerned, as I said on Tuesday, that her edginess is starting to come off. You know, you take a listen again of her promo on Raw and on SmackDown. Very, very calm, very, very mundane. Now, look, physically, she is drained. Anybody putting that much pressure, and like I said, you know, so many people got so angry at Kevin and I for saying for months and months and months and months and months, way before she was even announced for the match, that Charlotte needed to be in that match. I hope you understand now why that was necessary, especially since we hear now that Ronda fucking broke her hand. Imagine if Charlotte had zero to do with that match. Who knows what would have ended up? We don't know. But the point is, it added that much more credence to it. It gave that more. Look, adding Charlotte to a match should not take anybody. No one should look at it as taking it away from something. You know, again, she won two belts. If Charlotte wasn't in it, she would only win one belt. Becky two belts. It's already on his shirt. It's already selling out like hotcakes on WWE shop. But let me make something perfectly clear. Becky Lynch is not the face of the WWE right now. Kofi Kingston is not the face of the WWE right now. Seth Rollins is not the face of the WWE right now. All right? We brought up on Tuesday that everybody was talking about how Raw broke 3 million viewers in the first hour, and it's the highest rating this year. Not one website bothered to point out that the Raw after WrestleMania for 2019 was 1 million viewers less than a year ago. Took me 5 minutes to do that research. Instead, just painting this picture that everything, oh, blah, 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 and it went up, and this is an ad, and you see, you know, people were too... 1 million. So now we got SmackDown. And SmackDown's rating this week, and I'll get back to why I said they're not the face of WWE. Just wait. Don't get upset yet. Once I say what I say, I think you'll agree with me. You got SmackDown's rating came in. SmackDown did 2.2 million viewers. And people are pointing out that it's up 10% from last week and 3% in some demo. But it's still less than what it was 2 weeks ago. That's all that they reported. You know what that rating is compared to last year? Last year, SmackDown drew 850,000 viewers more. This year was down almost 900,000 viewers. What does that say? Think about it. Brock Lesnar wasn't on SmackDown last year. Don't blame it on Lesnar. Don't blame it on Roman Reigns. They weren't on SmackDown. Why? Why is it down so much? You know, I understand giving a lot more time for the women. They want to balance it out and this and that. But it's at the expense of a lot of fans who are saying, you know what? Don't shove this shit down my throat. Let it happen organically. If we like it, we like it. You know, don't keep forcing it and forcing it and forcing it. Like I said, the announcers, a lot of these announcers, it feels like NWO from the mid-90s. You know, push the NWO so much that you'd have matches that were awesome on TV that didn't have any NWO members in it. What were the announcers talking about? Oh, nice move by Rey Mysterio. Wonder what's going to happen later with Hogan and Savage. And yeah, what about Scott Norton? And oh, blah, 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 blah. And what about blah, 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 blah. And man, people got sick of that shit. All right. So getting back to what I was saying before, and this has to do with Superstar Billy Graham as well. The roster right now feels even, meaning that, yes, Kofi is the most over guy right now. Absolutely. A couple of months ago, you would have said Seth Rollins. Some people would think Finn Balor. Some people might think of somebody else. Becky Lynch right now, the most over woman on the roster. All right, not too long ago was Ronda Rousey. The point is that when you're the most popular person on the roster, doesn't mean you're the face of the company. Right now, Kofi and Becky are their champions. And they are their representative. They are the top of the roster. But when you look at the overall perspective, the roster is very even right now. And at any point, another wrestler could overtake Kofi in popularity. Any female, not every female, but a couple could possibly, you don't know. You don't know. It's not like the 80s, it was Hulk Hogan and everyone else. It's not the, you know, Ric Flair and WCW and everyone else, or Sting and everyone else, and the NWO and everyone else. It's not AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Impact and everybody else. All right. Right now, you know, the hot ticket is Becky and Kofi. But remember what I said about Becky's autograph signings last year, okay? Becky was drawing more than anybody else. The problem is you weren't getting, and you'll remember this, you weren't getting new people to tune in. Where is the surge of fans who turned away, that they're really into women's wrestling, and WWE did the right thing and finally gave it to Becky? Where were they? Didn't get any new viewers. Sorry, I'm doing a show. That's why I said that. Kofi inspired so many, you know, black fans and wrestlers and those who turned away from the product. There was a celebration, a celebration for Kofi on SmackDown. 250,000 viewers less than 2 weeks ago. Sometimes chasing is better than having. In the case of Kofi, he had to have it. Absolutely. This was the right way to go. Becky, she had to have it. This was the right way to go. To have that much of a build and lose, it would have been total failure, storyline purposes. Now, I want to make something else perfectly clear. Becky losing her edge in her promos. Kofi getting possibly, you know, constantly in tag matches. Yeah, I want Kofi's title reign to really back it up in the win-loss column in the sense that when 5 years from now, when we go back and look at Kofi's reign and you look at his match history and you see who he faced, who he defeated, and at what on what show, you want it to look impressive. You don't want to go back and see six-man tag, six-man tag, six-man tag, promo, six-man tag, singles match, promo, interview segment, six-man tag, suspension angle, six-man tag. I'm not saying all that's going to happen, but don't do smoke and mirrors. And if it ends up being smoke and mirrors, and if Becky continues to lose the edge, it's not their fault. This is where WWE's wants the direction to go. When they show up for work, yes, they have a certain amount of creative freedom to portray themselves a certain way on TV. But if WWE wants this to take place or that to take place, that's what's going to take place. You're not going to go against the grain simply because you think it's a better idea. You think it's a better idea, start your own promotion. So right now, WWE is very, very even as far as their roster. It's not Land of the Giants anymore. It's now trying to portray that anybody at any given time could possibly win the title. And we have heard for decades, and I said it many times in the past, it's truly even better, any better than any other time, you know, that anything could happen in the WWF. Anything could happen in WWE. 6 months ago, we started noticing how Brock Lesnar was fighting small guys. Right after the Braun Strowman stuff, small guys. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Finn Balor. And what do we say? It felt like that they were doing that. This way, when he finally faces Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, nobody's going to really concentrate as far as the size difference and say, you know what? He actually has a shot. Look at how far Finn Balor took Brock Lesnar. Look at Daniel Bryan's match with Brock Lesnar. You got that suspension of disbelief now that, yeah, people can beat him. And that obviously is needed in this day and age. Now, sure, you got Lars who's a big man. You got Braun Strowman who's a big man. You have some others who are bigger in size. But it's not like what it was yesteryear. WWE is trying to even the playing field so anybody could possibly win it in any given time under the right circumstances. So when superstar Billy Graham says, oh, just do a little steroids, you know, just a little, it's okay. You know, no, I mean, sure, it's hard to believe all of a sudden that such a small guy could overtake this person and this person and this person and this person. But in the case of Kofi, though, you know, there's not many people that are that special. And sure, a lot of us out there, you know, were never, you know, saying, oh, one day Kofi will be heavyweight champion. I think deep down inside, you know, he always would strive for that. But you look at the annals of wrestling history, and sure, some people believe color has to do with it as well. But he broke through. And that's going to inspire younger wrestlers out there to, hey, you know what? If I ever make it to WWE, maybe I will have a shot. You know, you got to be confident about yourself. You got to feel that you could bring it to the table. So when superstar Billy Graham says stuff like this, man, you know, you can't base heavyweight champions on their size, their height, and their weight anymore. You can't, anything under 260 is not believable. You can't do that anymore. It's just not this era. Me growing up as a wrestling fan as a kid, I grew up in the Land of the Giants. And I have said for many, many years that WWE needs larger than life stars. Pro wrestling needs larger than life stars. You don't want to look at someone and think, okay, that guy could work at Starbucks and he would not stand out at all. You need freaks. You need people to have a little bit extra. You know, not everybody could come off as just a regular person, just one of us out there. Kevin Owens, great example of it. Kevin Owens, man, when he first came up, and he was, you know, chewing a little bit with his mouth and all that, and you saw his size, and it was just a little bit different. And a lot of, what was the thing a lot of people said, you know, looked like the fat guy that walked along the pool wearing a t-shirt and shorts because he's just too embarrassed to go top, you know, topless with his shirt. Then you saw his charisma. Then you saw his ability. And then you see him just fucking killing it in the ring. And sure, we saw him kill it on the indie circuit. But you see fans starting to connect with him. And yeah, that's a time where somebody like an everyday person could possibly make it. Daniel Bryan's another one. Becky Lynch is another one. People who have struggled. And that's why I get annoyed a lot of times with the Sasha Banks stuff. It may be just totally coincidental, even though I find it hard because it happened so many times. But with Sasha, you know, it's like when she's the focal point, when she's history and these, she's got a moment that she's in the record books and everything's about her and blah, 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 blah. The fucking world cannot be better. But then the minute that the spotlight is off of her, and now, okay, let's give it to Iconics for a little while. You know, then it'll lead to someone else. And, you know, right now, you know, we have nothing for you. It's not. And then you portray online that, you know, crisis mode. Now, that has nothing to do with the Wendy Williams backing out. But my point is that you've seen the cryptic tweets in the past when things weren't working out the way that she's used to. You know, oh, got to reevaluate things. I'm missing that magic. I need this. I need that. I need this. Keep it to yourself, man. You fucking have been given so much more. And I'm not saying entitled, but you've been given so much more opportunity than a lot of other women that are trying to be wrestlers, all right? And in some of those opportunities, maybe you deserved it and maybe sometimes you didn't. But be thankful for what you got and take a step back and show. You know, WWE, for decades and decades and decades, for no reason at all, as far as us fans will perceive, they will pull the rug out from someone. Someone who's got a little bit of momentum on TV will all of a sudden lose that momentum. And then what do we say? Why is this guy getting buried? Why is this guy getting jobbed out? That's what a lot of us used to say. Why is this? Why is that? And sometimes WWE wants to see how the person reacts when they're not getting their way, when their character is failing, when they're losing. They want to see how people will react to that. They want to see if you can handle it. And if you start all of a sudden getting angry and bitching and complaining and blah, 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 and frustrated, blah, blah, then you know what? Maybe this isn't the job for you. Maybe you should work in a one-person office so you feel that you're the leader and the boss 24/7, 365. So, you know, that's pretty much it. But we're not in the land of the giants anymore. So fuck this thing about stories. And now he's trying to, you know, back it a little bit. And he's like, oh, I just meant a little. You know, use it sparingly. No, superstar, you fucked up. Shut up. Stop acting like a bitter, old Hall of Fame wrestler who can't accept the fact that wrestling is what it is today. Do I like that there are so many less larger-than-life characters? Sure, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed, all right? In a lot of cases, people are much smaller because of what we know now about steroids, because we know now about, you know, the what wrestling does to the body. We know now that, so you have to accept it. And if you don't want to accept it, don't follow wrestling anymore. I keep saying it over and over again. I fucking hate the Kardashians. I hate Jersey Shore. There's a lot of things I can't stand. You will never ever see me watching one of their shows. You will never ever see me on their Twitter. You'll never ever see me on their social media accounts. You'll never ever see me on a fan site. You'll never ever see me talking about them as far as their stuff. You'll never see me put it down. And I know it's some of you wise asses say, well, he's talking about them right now. My point is, I don't follow them. I don't talk about them. I don't go into social media because I don't follow them. Why, if people you don't like in wrestling, you can't stand them that much, why do you go on their social media pages? Why do you go on their Twitter feeds? Why do you follow them? I'm just curious to see what dumb stuff this person says today. No, if somebody turns you off that much, you don't fucking watch it. You don't follow it. And if superstar Billy Graham hates what's going on in wrestling that much right now, my man, stop fucking watching it. Stop following it. Stop paying attention to it. You know, it just, I know he doesn't want to go into the world of anonymity, where he's just a regular guy. You know, I was thinking about the other day, I miss Joey Styles' tweets. I miss Joey Styles mingling on social media. I met him, you know, in the XPW stuff. I met him once or twice with the ECW stuff. I'll never forget the time that he actually contacted me because he was willing to do something with Frank Goodman in 2003 or four. It might have been. I don't remember what year it was. But he was even willing to work as a manager. And, you know, for some reason, Frank didn't go for it. One of the nicest people in wrestling. And if you remember what went down, that ridiculous thing at that indie show or whatever, you know, I miss that guy talking. He disappeared. Those are people that I wish were still around talking about stuff. You know, I absolutely love that JR is still a fan of wrestling, and now he's going to be doing some stuff for AEW. And yes, I will get into the AEW news in 2 seconds. You know, it's nice. It's refreshing. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. But when you come off as just bitter, angry, and annoyed, why are you talking about this stuff? Talk about something that you do like. Wrestling ain't going to change for you. It's not going to go back to what it was anytime soon. You either have to accept it as it is, and you have every right to voice your opinion. But my God, this guy is just coming off as just insane. Nuts. Anyway. All right. AEW. There's rumors. And look, there's some very excited fans out there that want to see a look, you know, something that nobody ever thinks about. And I'm going to throw it out there too. Monday Night Wars ended March 26, 2001, night of my birthday. Surreal. Still remember it. People remember the hotline reports and that eerie prediction I made. Yeah, pat myself in the back a little. But that was 17 years ago. So now if you're 25 years old right now, or 27, okay? I don't know what the average age of an aspiring AEW fan is, but when I see the press conferences and I see these little parties and I see people wearing AEW shirts, it seems like the average age is around 25 to 27. Some older, some younger. All right, so if you're 27, when the Monday Night Wars ended, you were 10. I don't care if you were watching it at 10 years old or 9 years old or 8 years old. You weren't following for 5, 6 years. You weren't following it for when Medusa dropped the belt. You were still in somebody's fucking pussy, to say it bluntly. You don't know that emotion in the Monday Night Wars. You didn't understand it. You didn't comprehend it. You weren't on websites every single day. You weren't channel surfing. You'd be lucky if your mom or your dad let you stay up late at night to fucking watch wrestling. Especially when the Attitude Era, my God. How many parents, you remember back in the day, how many parents, I won't let my kids watch that. I won't let my kids watch. Are you crazy? A lot of wrestlers, Mick Foley and others, I won't let my kids watch this. No way. This is crazy. I would never ever do. So when you have fans of today that all they hear about is the Attitude Era and all they hear about is the Monday Night Wars and they see Bischoff and they love Bruce Pritchard and Conrad and telling the stories of the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars and seeing Bischoff and Schiavone and others. I want that. I want that. I want to feel that. I want to feel what it's like to channel surf. I want to feel what it's like for WWE to be under pressure. I want to feel what it's like to have competition. All right. Sorry, TNA was never competition. It was a decent number two until they wanted or thought they could be number one. So I want that. When we talk about, oh, I want that. They may not consciously think it. They may not verbally say it. They want the Monday Night Wars that they never got, that they only read about and hear about, never experienced. That's why a lot of people are overly excited about AEW. Look at AEW's roster. Look, I'm not shitting on them at all. If anybody knows, if you listen closely, I could say it, out of Soup and Kev and myself, I'm the only one that's defended Conrad to the moon. I'm the only one, because I feel Conrad, he's not doing anything wrong. If podcasts want to dump $2,000 to be sitting in a podcast row, you know, that God bless them. If you could get someone to pay that kind of money, just like I said on Saturday at the party, on a microphone. All right, everybody else was making fun of Joey Ryan, and Soup's opinion is just as valid as mine. I said, you know what? If Joey Ryan could get people to pay $30 to grab his dick as un-PC and perverted and dope, dumb as it seems, God bless him. God bless him. It's not like, you know, you're going on a date and you think you're dating a chick and she tells you on social media that she, and the only reason why I brought this up twice in a week was because there's an episode on the ID channel I was watching about a guy who started talking to a girl and he started getting to know her and he really fell head over heels over her. And she wanted to save herself for marriage and they dated a few times and they kissed each other a few times and she absolutely refused to go to second base. And the guy was just getting to the point of obsession over her. And then he one day found out, he put his hand down there and he found out she was a guy all along. He killed her. He killed her, went to jail over it. Because the whole time he was falling for a guy. Now, again, I have no problem with homosexuality. My point is that when you perceive something that you're not and you're not honest about it, well, then that's wrong. Now, did that guy or girl deserve to get killed over it? Absolutely not. No, nobody deserves to be killed over anything unless you're, you know, Al-Qaeda or ISIS or something. But AEW and Conrad, you know, people want to pay it. Well, go ahead. You know, it's supply and demand. They feel like they're a part of history and want to pay the money for it. God bless them. So the only problem I had was the Young Bucks talking about the healthcare thing. And I already gave everybody the lesson about independent contractors and all that other shit. So I don't need to get into it again. But the thing with AEW, look at their roster up and down. Okay. Jericho, special. Jim Ross, special. Some of the wrestlers on there, very talented. No doubt about it. But if you looked at that roster and I did not have the AEW banner in front of you, and you did not know anything about AEW, and I showed you that roster, some people would think it might be New Japan, but then they would say, where's all the Japanese names? Some people may think it's Ring of Honor. Some people may think it's just a regular indie promotion. All right? You look at the roster itself. Now, tell me the track record of Cody and the Young Bucks' writing that all of a sudden is going to make it ECW-like. You know, that's just going to be rabid and going against the grain. That's why I say all along, let's wait for the product to actually develop and happen. Then you judge it. Right now people are trying to paint the picture. And if you paint the picture and you look at it and 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 look at it, and then come October, that picture ain't what you thought it was, you're going to be fucking devastated. And then what's going to happen? To hide your embarrassment, you're going to put this face on that you're supporting it and you love it and this and that, but deep down inside, you're disappointed. You're devastated. My God, I invested all this energy in this and it's nothing what I thought it would be. Stop trying to think that you're creative. You are creative. Just stop trying to think that you're going to basically be the ones of how the storylines are going to go. Now, Cody, Young Bucks, Jericho, and others, they're not stupid. They see what is attracting attention, and they see that there's a nice bunch of fans out there that want an alternative. So now, do they go the WCW route? Do they go the ECW route? Or do they go the AEW route? Or do they go the indie route? You don't know exactly until it happens. So we hear, and the reason why I said all this is we hear now that the rumors of TBS and TNT may in fact end up happening. Now, that was a rumor a while back because just from, you know, process of elimination and as far as what networks were looking for what, TNT and TBS seemed to be like a good area, good place to put wrestling. Not because WCW was there before. Well, the minute you bring up WCW and, oh, wrestling was on there before and they want it again, well, then you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know, just because, it's the same network, it's not the same era, it's not the same people running it, it's not the same fucking shows that were non-wrestling in 2001, it's not anything, don't fucking say, oh, wrestling was here before, we're gonna, that's why it's coming back. No, because they're trying to fill a void. And process of elimination months ago, it looked like, yeah, you know what, that would be a great place to put wrestling, but we don't know for sure. So now people are jumping the gun saying, done deal, done deal, done deal. They're going to be at,
you know, this convention coming up, I guess in mid-May, and that's when they present their programming to new advertisers, trying to get people to advertise on the shows and this and that. So, you know, it looks like it could very well end up being on the network. But right away, people are trying to, you know, fill in blanks that have not been filled in yet. Okay? You think you know what it's going to be. You know what you want it to be. Let them be the one to report it, break it, announce it. You don't even know what day. You don't even know what time slot. You don't even know if it's TBS or TNT. So you just say both. So this way, you know, you can't be wrong if it's something on the Turner network. You know, it's like me saying, somebody says to me, who do you think is going to win the AL East this year? And I say, oh, you know what? I think Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles. It's going to be one of them. Should I slam my head into a wall now? So, you know, you ain't the fucking brains that you think you are, you know, goofy podcast and website world. But let's see where this announcement goes. You know, October is still a little ways away, and it's smart. It's smart. I don't think anybody who actually took a step back about AEW thought that TV was going to start in May or June. And if they do get this deal, the reason why it really does need to start happening in October is because if they do book advertisers, they have to provide a product. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Now the question is, what are you going to see in October? Are they going to just play matches that are recorded in May or in June? And think about that for a minute. Is that what you want? Don't you want to watch a product that you don't know what the outcomes are going to be? That's why I love live programming. I don't like spoilers. I hate spoilers. I never like spoilers. Because once I read the spoilers, unless the match is intriguing, unless people say, oh my God, it was a fucking 7-star match. This person dived off the fucking roof of a building and fucking landed on his feet. And I don't even know how he did that. And blah, 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 blah. And this one did an 840 splash through 18 tables and blah, 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 blah. And this guy caught a promo and he ripped Vince McMahon. Unless I read stuff like that, if it's just, you know, it's blah, 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 blah versus blah, 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 I'm not going to watch it just to watch it. You know, when I first became an ECW fan in 1993, you know, you first watch some of it. I wasn't enamored with everything that I watched. Some matches, I would be glued to my chair. And some matches, I channel surf, put on baseball, put on something else. If it was late at night, you know, maybe watch a little infomercial, Girls Gone Wild, which was a big thing at that time, whip out the Joe Rag for 5 seconds, blah, 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 blah. Maybe go take a leak. Go get something to eat, midnight, 2 a.m. Then you go back and watch it. You know, AEW is not on that level yet that they could be showing paint dry on a pole and I'll fucking watch it. So, you know, let's see what that program is going to be in October. If it ends up being reruns of matches from 3 months earlier, that's going to suck. I don't want to know. The surprise element is going to be a very important part of AEW. I know live programming is expensive. You got this millionaire backing it. They're not looking to be number one. They're not looking to compete with WWE. But if you're going to land a TV deal and you're going to land some good advertisers, you know, you can't just fucking play matches that were recorded a month and a half earlier. That only takes you so far. Then you end up with 100, 200,000 viewers. And that's all you got. You know, Impact, look at Impact's roster back in the day. Even though they use a lot of ex-WWE people, and yeah, some people didn't like the fact that Hogan and others were there, and Flair and Foley and Angle. But my God, you go back to the roster around 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13. You look at some of those rosters, and that, you know, that's pretty damn impressive. AEW, they're not having a roster like that. It's not their fault. That type of talent is not out there anymore. WWE has snatched up a lot of people. And other feds are trying to as well. And unfortunately, they don't have that kind of bankroll where they could do stuff like this. So you're going to see AEW have working relationships with other promotions, like I said, all along. You're going to have wrestlers who are not going to be exclusive to AEW. And you're going to feel at times that what's different from AEW than some other indie feds out there besides TV? But if they're giving you an entertaining product, that's all you need. Let's see what happens, everyone. Don't jump the gun. Anyway, how long am I going? That's only an hour. It feels like it went longer. I'm a little surprised. Wow, I didn't even do shout-outs. Damn, I definitely need to do some shout-outs. Monday, I think it's the first time I ever did that. On Monday, I did not take down our new and returning patron list. I also did not take down our new associate producers, and I felt so bad because I always double and triple check what I do on these shows, make sure I have all the things I'm prepared for. It was just that between Friday night and Tuesday, I only had about 7-8 hours sleep. I got 2 hours sleep Sunday night thanks to WrestleMania and the 18-hour show. Saturday, I didn't get home till after 4 a.m. hanging out with all you crazy motherfuckers out there. Friday night, I think I got maybe 2 or 3 hours sleep. Then Tuesday, we're right back on Patreon doing stuff, and here I am. So special shout out to our newest associate producers, Orhan Martin, Raul Romo. And Raul, I don't know if there was something you wanted me to plug on Patreon and on these shows, but if there is, please PM me. Let me know. Stan the Man Loudon and D-Boy Gentleman, I want to thank you for becoming our associate producers. Shout out to you, my friend. I'll get into, obviously, our other associate producers in a little bit. I also want to shout out all of our new and returning patrons that subscribed over the last week or so because, again, I apologize. I completely forgot on Monday, and you know that's not me to do something like that. But special shout-outs to David Torrance, Sharon Pierce. And, by the way, Sharon is the one who cosplayed yours truly. And, Sharon, if you need a refill on merchandise, you know, just PM me, hook you up. Kev's responsible for his stuff. I guess that might have been that bad of a Alan got the rough end of that deal, you know, because me, I'm always like, you know, yeah, get my merchandise out, get out there. Andre Kier Christensen, Chris Corby, Kevin Carey, Troy Turner, Art Gallegos, Christopher DeMars, Brian Tate, Brent Stellander, Brian Walden, Caleb Young, Dylan Cordellaware, Charles Cliff, Bruce Sharp, Alan Gouda, Belly Rovers, what an interesting name, Blue Nose 91, Joshua Rodriguez, Yardcore Bob, and MCast 97. Welcome aboard, welcome back, and thank you for the support as always, everybody. Don't forget, for our patrons, tonight it is Dark Chronicles, tomorrow will be blah, blah, blah. Saturday will be the early release of This Week in Wrestling History, and we have a whole bunch of other stuff lined up as well. I got more stuff to get into, everyone. Just want to give some love. Tygesy Bowers, Orhan Martin, Raul Romo, and yes, I am mentioning the names again. Stan the Man Loudon, D-Boy Gentleman, Kane Shaw, Timothy Keel, Simon Hoodie Hood, James Mills, Brandon Davidson, CM Black, Tom Baffa, Tamina's Pocket Toy, Chris Harris, John Krauser, Cockboy, Sheffield Mercury, Jacob Esten, Jay Smoothie, Virginia George, Michael John Buchanan, Matthew, Joseph Nikoluk, Stell, Rob from Nashville, John Krauser, Tony, Michael Rhino, Bad Boy Nico, Paul Convoy, Daniel Williams, Dan Hayes Valdez, John Miller, Justin Rebstock, John Steck, Mark Redman, John Coffey, Andrew 914, Zach Spoonamore, Jerry Stewart, Magic Johnson. You know, if you want your name there as well, Patreon.com/DonTony. I know, shill. Paul Woods Jr., Rich Maharg, Adam DeMoy, Diogo Nobre, Johnny Marin, Michael Westfall, Brandon Foley, Switch Babe, Courtney Summers, Chuck Lentz, Billy Taylor, Nico Time, Hassan Al Hashmi, Brent Webster, Aaron Kloss, Aaron Walker, Anthony Smith, James Gruesome, Mark Israel, Jeffrey Collins, Tim Everhart, Bob O'Mac, Lucia Dalban, Mandingo Chamberlain, Josh Wilson, Jason Pratt, Scott Woodford, CJ Uihara, Crestman, James Deal, Donald J. Trump, Russell Zavala, Merrill Coombs Jr., Douglas McKay, Michael Cuomo, Anna, I don't give a shit about your kids, Banana, Julian LeBlanc, Brandon Rice, Spider Lewin, the Metaphor Isaac Fox, Rob McKay, Brian Byrne, Daniel Warren, and Carl Buto, a.k.a. Cheese and Rice. They are associate producers. They are very influential as far as what is discussed on these shows. They really give us a lot of behind-the-scenes, you know, ideas, criticism, advice, suggestions, and they are the reason, the main reason, along with all other patrons, as to why this show remains free, along with the DTKC show. They help tremendously with our expenses as well. If you want to help support the shows, help keep the bills paid, the lights on, patreon.com/DonTony, $5. That's all it takes. You get tons and tons of exclusive content there. And, you know, we have the contest, the predictions. We just gave away the big Bullet Club signed, autographed, and framed photo. Just signed by, I think, like six members of the Bullet Club. Very, very cool thing. So that's been claimed on the prize wall. And I'll get into our sponsors in a little bit. Here's another example of just people just really getting agitated. And you want to know something? You know, with the exception of getting lint balls in it, I have no problem with it. I don't know why people, I think some people complain just to complain, seriously. For those that did not notice on Monday and Tuesday, WWE has replaced snaps with Velcro. Breaking news, everyone. The belts no longer have snaps. They got Velcro. My God. I think some people out there were complaining. I could see some people not liking it. I could see some people legitimately complaining. But I think some people were out there doing it just to be noticed. Just to get two people to retweet them or like them. You know, my God, you see what the dopey thing the WWE did, blah, 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 blah. Velcro. Motherfucker, you don't own no replica belts. What the fuck you care? You always say the title means shit. Now all of a sudden, the title means shit. But my God, if it's going to mean shit, let's at least have snaps. I like the Velcro idea. The Velcro, you just fucking snap that on and snap it off. Especially when you see people wearing a belt, they run down the aisle to hit the ring so they could like quickly beat the fuck out of someone else. You know, you don't want to be busy undoing a snap, and God forbid a snap gets stuck. I had a boat. I sold it last year. Anybody that's ever had a boat and you fucking got like a canopy or you have a cover on it, what do you use? You use snaps. And yeah, when you're around salt water, it eats up the snaps a little bit, but sometimes even fucking bags, duffel bags, anything that requires snaps. Sometimes they get stuck. Sometimes the snap breaks off. And the last thing you need is for a wrestler that's trying to pull a belt off and a snap gets stuck. Or the opposite. You want to put the belt on and you're not lining up the snaps properly. And sure, look, have we ever seen many people struggle with snaps, putting it on and taking it off? No, absolutely not. But man, I don't have a problem with Velcro. Velcro, bzz, bzz. You pull it out, you put it in. 2 seconds. And now when you see wrestlers hit the ring and they still got the belts, they're wearing it around their waist, and they want to hit the ring, they just pull it off. Don't have to worry about snaps, this and that. Put the belt back on, 2 seconds. People are complaining for what? I don't understand it. And it's so what if you have a replica belt and it has snaps on it? Oh, now they get Velcro. Fuck you care. Seriously, what do you care? So I like the Velcro idea. And they're using the same color Velcro as the belt. So you don't even really see it all that much. Look, I'm not going to deny it. Snaps look nicer. Of course it looks nicer. But, man, I think this is more of, you know, just making it easier for the wrestler to put it on and take it off. Now, again, the one thing that sucks about Velcro is that very easily you could get dust and lint balls and this and that, especially when you're around a dirty ring. So, you know, you're constantly going to have to scrub that Velcro a little bit. So, you know, things will get stuck in there. But so what? Another nut thing that I read this weekend is Marty Jannetty, who I guess is looking for attention once again.
I guess, you know, posting 18 times about wanting to fuck your daughter-in-law or whatever it is, stepdaughter, was not enough. So now he's telling everyone, you think, you know, Bret Hart's attack was a setup? And I wouldn't have had too much of a problem with him saying that, even though it's nuts, if he would have said it maybe Saturday night, right after the incident happened. We still don't know anything that's going on. Hey, maybe it's not real. Let's hope it's not. Speaking of not real, I hope the Twitter account for this Marty Jannetty is not real. Because first off, I went on his Twitter to actually see with my own eyes this, you know, insane thing that was written. But what blew me away is, number one, not that he's not Twitter verified, but he only has 2,700 followers. Marty Jannetty, 2,700 followers. My God, usually if you just fought in wrestling or you cleaned up a cup from the floor, you got tons of followers. 2,700. So I'm holding out hope that all these reports of this Marty Jannetty account is fake. And maybe if he was smart, he would say, that's not really my account, even though I think it is. You see how things are promoted and stuff like that. No fake account is going to promote stuff like this is, you know, for himself. But what's wrong with this guy? We already know by Monday, you know, with this guy's facing and all this other stuff. And this guy, ooh, what if it was fake? Shit. Superstar Billy Graham, stop fucking giving people away, you know, stuff for them to drink. He's drinking your Kool-Aid. Both of them turning into whack jobs. So anyway, other than that, I think we're going to pretty much wrap this up. I actually have to prepare everything because Kev Castle is doing Dark Chronicles later. So I got to get their show up as well. Plus, I got to prepare for regular life tomorrow, The Office. Then I got the history show to worry about. Tomorrow I got blah, blah, blah on Patreon. A lot of baseball talk coming tomorrow, by the way. Shout out to Texas Podcast Massacre. Awesome, 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 awesome podcast that focuses around classic horror films, pop culture. Definitely go check it out. Very unique. Shoot the Defense if you're into soccer. Our friend Stell, by soccer fans, for soccer fans. Great fucking podcast. Rock Reviews, another awesome podcast, very unique, reviewing some oddball albums and more popular albums from yesteryear in just a very, you know, creative way. DJ Dell's Sneaker Addict. It's not just a podcast about sneakers. He talks to all walks of life, from wrestling to movies to politics, and he's got a clip up with him in the Harlem Heat right now. It's pretty cool. Elman Shah, Display Store. He's an artist, pop culture artwork on metal. I have bought from him. I know some of you out there as well. If you're into like retro stuff, especially gaming, go check it out. The link is on our website. SubZeroComics.com for all your wrestling, comic book, and pop culture collectible needs. Your best bargains. Cool meeting you Saturday. Just surreal of what you told me earlier that you have that I was looking for. That's all I'm going to say. Crisis in the Toyverse. You can find them on YouTube under the name Undercover Capes. Very, very cool podcast. Bob O'Mac, good people. Reviewing collectibles, bobbleheads, figures. He reviewed my bobblehead. Gave me some awesome photos of my bobblehead in different environments. Funny, funny shit. I got to start putting this up for everyone. So please, everyone, support those shows. You know, not only the advertisers of ours, but, you know, I spread the love for them as well because they deserve it. And they all have something unique to offer. So, you know, I always read from some of you out there, hey, give me some non-wrestling podcasts to check out. Well, now you got a whole shitload of them. And if you do check them out, tell them Don Tony referred you. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. Now, here's the deal. The last weekend of April, from Thursday, April 25th, through Sunday, April 28th, I will not be in New York. I'm actually going away with family. I don't want to really get into the reasons why, but as of right now, it all depends on, you know, how much more I recoup from my surgery and how my mom is feeling, because we'll, you know, plan something. So Breakfast with Blasi, hopefully will return in 2 weeks, which will be the 24th of April, the day before I leave. Otherwise, it'll be May 1st. And I know I missed an episode or two here and there. You know, it's not laziness, trust me, everyone. It's just that when you do a show on Monday
and Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday. You know, there's not so much to get into. So, you know, and I don't want to hold out content on other shows simply because of this. That's the one thing you'll never get over here. You know, we want to talk about stuff. We talk about it. But I hold you one. Because I know a lot of people out there wanted to hear me do some ranting and venting and, you know, opining about wrestling just solo with no one else. So, but if you like Breakfast Soup, Mish and I will be doing Breakfast Soup on Patreon next Wednesday. So check it out. And I am out of here. Everyone be well, and I will talk to you soon. Ciao.
Support the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show on Patreon. Get access to thousands of hours of back episodes. Get bonus episodes
and exclusive shows. Castle Chronicles.
Breakfast Soup.
Pay-per-view recaps. DVDs.
Beer koozies. Tattoos.
And more.
Support the show that's entertained millions for over 16 years. Patreon.com/Don Tony. Once again, Patreon.com/Don Tony.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.